AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
It is a Christmas Eve edition of No Sleep Teal right here on the Ryer on YouTube channel. Travis Ryer alongside Evan Ryer. Evan, from the home studio here, I can see the stockings. They've been hung with care because you know who hangs the stockings around here. I don't see any playoff tickets, Jacksonville Jaguar playoff tickets in them as of yet, but I guess we still have a little time to go. Playoff tickets, Ev, before Christmas Day, where the Jacksonville Jaguars are concerned.
Well, you know, we might not get them before Christmas Day, or at least not a home game, but we could have a home game confirmed before New Year's Day, which would be pretty freaking cool, all things considered. Yeah, I mean, what is there to say? Well, you know, I can't think of a Christmas that going into it, I knew the Jaguars were going to be in the playoffs. Like, I mean, I think even that 2017 season, they hadn't necessarily locked up a playoff spot yet going into that. So, just tremendous. I mean, the vibes are the highest I've felt in quite some time. I mean, you go into Denver, you absolutely dismantle a very good Broncos team on the road in a loud environment. We were kind of thinking that the Jags definitely had a shot in that game, but I don't think either of us thought that the Jags could do it like they did this past Sunday.
No, validation performance. And again, one of those where even as ardent Jaguar fan, you went into still feeling like, can I really trust this team? Is it safe? Is it okay to go all in? Well, after what happened out at Invesco Field last Sunday, I think you have to at this point. You're a playoff team, for crying out loud. You've got that in your back pocket. To your point, just an impressive performance because started the game fast, started the game the way they needed to. You knew Denver would ultimately counterpunch. That happened. Took a bit of a counterpunch from the Broncos, but then it felt like all Jags from that point forward. I know you look at it statistically, the Broncos with over 440 yards of offense, but you force a couple of turnovers from Bo Nix on an interception and also a fumble recovery. So that continues to be a positive trend. And red zone success, third down success for the Jags, right? 8 of 15 on third down in that game, 4 red zone touchdowns. What I liked about the red zone touchdowns too, all came from 4 different guys. So this isn't an offense that is overly dependent on one guy or one sort of revenue stream. They get it from Travis Etienne. They get it from Parker Washington with just an absolutely huge performance, almost as if to say, yeah, it's great. Jacoby Myers got his money. Now I would like to get my money too. Yeah. Trevor Moore running the football down there. Just impressive in every way. Brenton Strange, the ways that this offense right now are working, starting with Trevor Lawrence pulling that trigger, it's championship caliber right now.
It is. You know, we've joked in the weeks past about Trevor letting it rip, but I think, you know, Cohen was on to something. You know, whatever type of adjustments, whatever type of confidence boosting words that Cohen has been feeding Trevor all season, it's snowballing right now. I mean, this was a better performance than we've already seen from the really good performances in the week prior. Because you're doing it up against guys like Patrick Surtain. You're, you know, worried about guys like Nick Benito and different stuff like that. When you're able to beat a really talented defense like this, that's something special. And Trevor, I mean, in high pressure situations, after getting, I mean, that shot he took on the dead play, you know, from behind, that's like, I was like, oh, there's the season, like where he's got to have a broken something, because
you think Patrick Mahomes takes that shot, by the way, and they're in a flag. Do you think that happens?
That's the thing too, is that there's a lot of complaining, a lot of, well, the Jags got really lucky with some of these calls or whatever on that. They blew the play dead. which I get it is a frustrating moment. Trevor stops playing. He stops looking to throw. He's just standing there. Dude doesn't realize that the whistle's blown. And the only defense of that I've seen is, hey, man, it's a really loud stadium. He couldn't hear the whistle. Well, guess what? That's still a flag. It doesn't matter. Like, I don't know much about Broncos fans, but I've been seeing a lot of bitching, to be honest, a lot of just crying and different stuff like that, because sure, there might've been a call or two that, you know, was in favor of the Jags, but at the end of the day, the Jags just handled them. And Trevor Lawrence did that with toughness and with precision. I mean, some of the throws that he made again, he is force feeding me crow right now after all the trash I had to talk. And, you know, I know it's only been a four game stretch, but there's no reason to think that it's going to end right now. The way he's dealing, he seems so comfortable with, as you mentioned, Jacoby Myers, but also Parker Washington is just, that was incredible. I mean, he basically, you know, turned one play into two plays with that like little shimmy move and then cut up field, made Riley Moss look stupid twice, not once, but twice. And, you know, the Jaguars aren't running the ball especially well right now, but if Trevor can make the throws like this to lift up that end of the offense, then it's not a problem.
Well, and I still think the presence of a run game, though, is helping the Jags throw it the way they are. And you're seeing Cohen and that offensive staff employ concepts that are continuously putting some of these opposing linebackers in total hell.
Yeah.
And they did it again. You know, they'll do it with the backs, Travis Etienne with another touchdown reception in the win over the Broncos. But then the different things they can do with Brenton Strange too.
Yeah.
And also lining up wide receivers in the backfield from time to time to help them do some different things in the red zone. But, you know, you motion Brenton Strange around, you end up settling him as almost like an H-back or an offset fullback. Then you work him through the A-gap off play action, and you get him matched up for an explosive play. I mean, it's just this sort of continuous run for Liam Cohen, where we saw it against the Jets especially, where it just really puts linebackers in a tough spot. Yes, you would love to run the football more effectively. 81 rushing yards against the Broncos. My bigger concern for the Jaguars' run game will have to do with third and short. Can they convert the tough short yardage, goal line, those type of situations? Situational run game I'm more worried about, because they're still getting it from the backs. You know, a lot of teams, if they can't run it, like Jonathan Taylor, if the Colts can't run it with Jonathan Taylor, I don't know how much they're really going to get from him otherwise.
Right.
But Travis Etienne can run for 50 yards like he did against the Broncos. And while he didn't have a huge game in terms of yards receiving, he still had that touchdown catch down there in the red zone. So it's still effective, even when statistically it may not show up as much.
Yeah, for sure. Now, Liam Cohen deserves all the credit in the world. I mean, I think at this point we have to be talking about Cohen as, you know, a top five play caller, at least for this season. I mean, he doesn't seem to really, you know, throw out just trash plays. You know, there's no really missed opportunities with this offense right now. Something that Kurt Benkert, former NFL quarterback and like a you know, YouTube analyst guy that I like watching, pointed this out. Notice that, you know, I guess in recent weeks when the Broncos are facing like a bunch set, they run this like weak safety blitz. And to counteract that, the Jaguars did some like kind of quick snap BS against the Broncos that worked over and over and over again, mostly because Broncos defense standing up, defensive line standing up, trying to figure out exactly what the Jags are about to do. Then with the center, he'll do like a double, like there's the mic. He's like taking all the time in the world before he actually sets over it, gets all the receivers set. And then the moment that the hand touches the ball, it's snapped. There is no, you know, there's no count. There is no nothing. And no cadence. That kind of stuff is so cool to see. And not something that I think even Doug Peterson was considering doing, or, you know, or something that Marone could have even considered doing. This is something that's a lot more modern without being, you know, you know, flashy for the sake of flashy. This is smart football. And it's a great thing to see. I mean, Jacoby Myers has a slightly quieter game. Doesn't really matter when you got Parker Washington going off. Same thing with BTJ, but BTJ continues to look confident. He looks like he's, you know, engaged, you know, he's not just out of it. Also, all the flowers in the world, we've done it for the past couple of weeks, but Cole Van Lannen is such a revelation, as well as Walker Little coming in for Patrick McCrary at guard. Walker Little had a tremendous day in a very, you know, high pressure spot. Because when McCrary out, you know, you're starting to wonder, oh, geez, man, like, you know, the offensive line's been playing really well. Walker Little at guard was maybe even an upgrade over how McCrary was playing, you know, previously in that game, because McCrary was kind of getting lit up early in that game on from that Broncos defensive line.
Yeah, and even the center position, as we've seen throughout this season, with Hainsey going out on occasion, Monheim having to come in and, you know, at least patchwork that situation. Depth has been a real plus for this Jaguars offensive line in a stretch in recent years where you couldn't really get five. You maybe couldn't get four out there together. They've actually been able to hold it together. Now, you know, Trevor was sacked five times in the game. But
pretty much all in the first half, too.
But still did a good job taking care of the football. You know, I'd rather see that number than two fewer sacks and two more interceptions. So he kept the interception column clean as much as he's handling the football now, and run situations, took care of the football in that area as well. Now, for the Jaguars defense, again, you look at this thing statistically, Bo Nix throws for 352 and a touchdown. He was picked off. Denver ran for over 100 yards, 101, averaged 5.9 yards per carry. But third down and red zone, the Jaguars did a pretty good job in those areas, Evan.
Yeah, bend don't break, right? I mean, it's one thing if teams are, you know, getting a lot of time of possession, but as long as you can make the plays when they matter most, then you will end up winning football games. And really the defense did that. I mean, don't get it twisted. Yeah, there was definitely some big play stuff. That RJ Harvey run got me scared in the first half. I was like, oh shoot, this is potentially going to be bad. But if you go look at it the rest of the way, RJ Harvey went six handoffs for 12 yards. If you don't, with, you know, everything besides that 38 yard run, you know, Courtland Sutton kind of cooked like we expected him to. We talked about being nervous about Courtland Sutton going into the week. But after that first half of explosives, you know, explosive plays by him, again, the Jaguars defense is making adjustments. Campanelli, you know, you talk about play calling from Liam Cohen. I mean, Campanelli also in his bag right now. You didn't love how weak the pass rush was in a situation like this. You're going to have to be a little bit better than that. I mean, there was really only five QB hits in the game and BJ Green with the only sack. You know, you kind of want Josh Hines-Allen to show up a little bit more so than that. Trayvon Walker apparently was dealing with the knee issue during the game. So, you know, something to look for there going into this game against the Colts. But overall, fine. You know, you capitalized on the mistakes that the Broncos made, and Jarian Jones came up big late. You like seeing that. You know, that's not a great throw from Bo Nix, but Jarian Jones still has to make a contested catch there. So, you know, you're not.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
But you're not really going to be too mad about that.
Yeah, and you know what else you like about this performance by the Jags? Just two penalties.
Yeah, clean.
In the game, on the road, in a tough environment, two penalties for 20 yards. Meanwhile, the Broncos with six for 61. So good situational, good complementary football from the Jaguars in Denver, because, you know, Cam Little gets it done again in his area. He gets us the BOGO, medium subs from Firehouse with that.
They teased us with the 73-yarder in the warm-up. They couldn't stop talking about it on the broadcast.
Well, we talked about 76, you know, perhaps. So That
I was
looked
hoping
like
that
it
the
would have been
Jaguars
good
would
for
have the ball at the end
26.
of the second half, because Cohen is a risk taker, but he's not so
no.
so gamble heavy that, you know, he's going to kick it from 70 in any situation in which he's going to give the ball back to the other team. But yeah, no, Cam Little was good. Logan Cook was really good again too.
Really good.
You know, special teams. Also, DJ Dallas, welcome to Jacksonville. Nice
yeah.
little return, you know.
Very good return.
You know, as long as, you know, while they're trying to recover from some of those injuries to other guys like Bashaul Tutin, different stuff like that, seeing the new guy come in and at least do something explosive, you know, you're pretty encouraged by that. Special teams was good too.
Yeah, Cook, 52-yard average, 4 of his 6 punts inside the Denver 20.
But they won't give him the Pro Bowl.
Will not. Now, I just have to settle for Mattisic, right?
Yeah.
As that Pro Bowl starter for the Jags. But it's on to Indianapolis, where yeah. apparently Phillip Rivers awaits, even though he's now 0-2 as a starter for the Colts since coming back to the club. Loss at San Francisco. At home to San Francisco. It's not like he's been put in easy situations to come back after you've been out of the game for, 5 years. You come back and you get Seattle on the road, and then you get the 49ers at home, and the Colts 0-2 in those games. I kind of wondered what the plan would be moving forward with him. But with the Colts still hanging on to some semblance of playoff hopes, it looks like it's going to be Phillip Rivers week this week for the Jags.
Yeah, the Colts have to win out and the Texans have to lose out for Indy to have a chance of making the playoffs. It'll come down to like strength of schedule tiebreaker there. But, you know, I mean, I get it. At the end of the day, it's like you signed this guy, you brought him back. You know, why not run him out there one more time? I've seen some Colts fans talking about how, why don't we just get Riley Leonard some reps in case, you know, for next year? I mean, is Riley Leonard really your guy? Like, are you really thinking, you know, this is the guy?
Not right now. No.
Maybe not right now. So, yeah, it's a little bit scarier with Phillip Rivers. And there's something about him that you know, Jaguars fans are used to getting beat by him. We've had a couple big wins over him too, but there were some pretty bad years in those early Chargers years. That he cooked, and he kind of was cooking against the 49ers. I mean, that first half that he had was impressive for 44 years old. Absolutely insane to be dealing the way that he was. And the Jaguars aren't going to be able to really rest on their laurels going into this game at all. This is one where kind of similar to when they played the Colts with an injured Danny Dimes. It's still going to be, you got to focus on Jonathan Taylor. He's the guy you can't allow to get going, but those Colts weapons that they have, those receivers, you know, between Alec Pierce, Michael Pittman, Tyler Warren, you know, you really can't, you know, forget about anything when it comes to that offense. So it's not going to be, you know, a cakewalk. I don't think. I think this game is going to, you know, present a challenge, but still one that the Jaguars that, you know, with the level that they're playing at right now, it should be like a pretty sizable win. But I don't know. There's, you know, this isn't one you get to sleepwalk through.
No, no, it's never easy on the road, man, in the NFL. And it hasn't been historically easy for the Jags up there.
Yeah.
And it has been at times easy for Jonathan Taylor against the Jags up there. It kind of flips, doesn't it, between the Colts when they come down here and the Jags when the Jags go up there. You know, you're thinking about maybe getting this running game going a little bit. Christian McCaffrey with a big game for the 49ers. Short week for the Colts they're coming off of. After Monday Night Football, McCaffrey went for a 117 on the ground. Also a couple of touchdown catches, by the way, for Christian McCaffrey in that game. So if you're thinking about Travis Etienne, in the way that he can be used in similar ways. Now, you know, that first time around, ETN with just one catch for 8 yards, he did rush for 74 yards and 2 touchdowns. So this still looks like an opportunity instance where I don't see the Jags changing a whole lot in terms of the mix and the formula that's working for them on the offensive side of the ball.
Now, the Colts defense is just in tatters right now between injuries and just general performance level. ETN or McCaffrey had a big game, so you would expect ETN to have one too. You know who also had a big game before he was injured? George Kittle.
Yeah.
Kittle was a monster, just absolutely terrorizing the Colts defense. So you're thinking Brenton Strange as well here. The formula should be fairly similar to what we've seen. It shouldn't switch up all that much. It's more so that, you know, I know that the 49ers still ended up easily winning that game, but you just can't afford to have the Colts get hot early. You really don't want to be trying to come from behind in that kind of situation where Jonathan Taylor is just going to be consistently handed the ball. The 49ers were able to literally just go punch for punch. Like every time the Colts scored a touchdown, 49ers scored a touchdown. Jags are going to need to do something similar if for some reason the defense gets off to a slow start, because you're not really going to be able to sack Phillip Rivers. He doesn't give you the opportunity.
I was going to ask you that. You see him back there at 44 years old.
You're like, oh, we're going to
go get him. But, yeah. You know, this is a dude that pre-snap and ability to process and figure out where you're coming from. That will be fascinating to watch in terms of the Jag approach to him.
They pretty much no team has been able to consistently get to Phillip Rivers this season since he's returned. And it's because more so than ever, he understands that I'm a one read guy. I'm throwing the ball 10 yards and I'm throwing it maybe within a second and a half of it being snapped to me. He is not going to extend, right? He's not extending plays. He's not going to be trying to let things develop. Steichen's not going to try and call stuff that, you know, forces Rivers to hold the ball for 2.5-3 seconds. It's going to be dealt very fast. So in that situation, it's more going to come down to playing patient, and trying to wait for Rivers to make that mistake, either missing a guy or, receiver just not getting off his corner very well. Because if you look at both that game against the Seahawks and against the 49ers this past week, Rivers threw picks late. You know, they were in those games or potentially in those games. But both times Rivers having to force a throw downfield, unable to do it, throws a pick, game over. So that's kind of the thing that Jaguars Stevens is going to have to do, is they're going to have to be patient. You can't just get wrapped up trying in, you know, kind of an arbitrary effort to sack Rivers when it's going to be difficult. You know, you need to make sure that Jonathan Taylor is kept to 3 to 3.5 rushing yards per carry. And then also, you got to tackle. You know, this is where I'm thinking, you know, tackling needs to be at its absolute best, because, if Michael Pittman or Alec Pierce or Josh Downs break a tackle, they are explosive guys. They will go for 40, 50 yards.
Yeah, Rivers threw the pick late against the Niners. Pick six, D. Winters, the linebacker for San Francisco, got him and returned it 74 yards for a touchdown. And again, sort of to your point, it was something that Winters had seen earlier in the game.
Yeah.
And when the opportunity presented itself later, and the Colts, as much as anything, down 14, having to throw it on every down. Yeah. I mean, that, I don't care if it's a Hall of Famer back there, whoever, that's typically a good spot for an opposing defense. And San Francisco in that game Monday night scored no fewer than 10 points in each of the four quarters, 14, 10, 10, 14. So again, scoring wasn't much of an issue. With that being said, Evan, the confidence level in the Jags going up there again, it hasn't always been a great, great result for the Jaguars, but are you there yet? Are you feeling like in a game like this where the Colts look more wounded than they look like a wounded animal, if you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They have everything on the line. Jags still have plenty on the line.
Yeah.
But can the Jags back-to-back roadies go up there and get the job done?
Absolutely. I think this is like a 10-point win for the Jags, kind of similar to what we saw last week. Maybe, you know, kind of an explosive first half, and then the Jaguars trying to kind of do what they've done previous in the season, which is put teams to sleep. You know, that's not really been the case the past 2 or 3 weeks. It's just been explosion after explosion, and the offense is scoring all these points. I think in this game, the Jaguars are going to be, you know, going to need to prepare for a bit more of a like methodical contest. It can't just be Trevor rolling out to his left and throwing dimes constantly. I think, they're going to, try and win time of possession, force, Jonathan Taylor to win the ball game for the Colts. I'm thinking like 27-17, you know, still a pretty good offensive day, not a bad defensive day, but a little more boring than the game that both the Colts and the Jags played respectively this past Sunday slash weekend, I guess.
I like the Jags to win. I think it'll be a little tighter, kind of similar game that you're anticipating, but I'm going to go 24-20 with the Jags.
All right.
Up in Indianapolis.
A little bit of stress.
It's the NFL. It's just you know, it's not going to let you just, there's no homecoming games, you know, really in the NFL. It doesn't seem
like. No, it's true. So. Injuries are going to be a big thing to watch for in terms of who's coming back for who, because Jags have quite a list right now on the injury report.
Between, they do.
You know, Robert Hainsey, Patrick McCurry, Trayvon Walker, Jordan Lewis, Monteric Brown, Bashel Tutin. Like, these are all guys that are either limited practice or did not practice today. So, you know, Greg Newsome as well, who is, you know, starting to take a little bit of an upturn. So, yeah, there's guys that, you know, if they end up missing quite a few dudes, it could be a little dicey in terms of just, you know, total amount of bodies that you can run out there with some confidence. And the Colts have that same issue too. I mean, their offensive line is beat to crap.
Yeah.
I mean, they are missing guys right now. So it's going to be interesting to see.
Yep. We'll see as it gets ready to unfold up there in Indianapolis on Sunday. That is a 1 p.m. Eastern kick. Jags looking for some AFC seeding. Evan, look forward to that. Look forward to talking about it next week with you right here on No Sleep Till. Anything else, Ev, before we get out of here?
Nothing. Just the most excited I could be. I can't stop watching Christmas Jaguars early. Content. Can't stop watching stuff. Like, I mean, I'm as addicted to the Jaguars as I've been in probably my whole life. So it's fun.
Yeah, that's still – It hadn't always been the most healthy addiction, but
no, it's bad for me. It is
all
bad
things
for me.
Considered. We'll take that. We'll take that. So with that, for Evan Ryer, I'm Travis Ryer, hoping you have a super holiday. Merry Christmas to those of you out there who celebrate. Absolutely. Otherwise, safe travels. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy each other. Enjoy Jaguar football coming up on Sunday up in Indianapolis. So for Ev, I'm Trav. Until next time. So long, everybody.